This is the Navigating Adult ADHD podcast, here to help you navigate and thrive with ADHD in adulthood. I'm your host, Zena, and I was diagnosed at age 36. As with many ADHDers, I have a rebellious and nonconformist style. And that means that there will likely be swearing in the coming episode. Please be mindful of any little people. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to Navigating Adult ADHD, where today we're going to be talking about hormones and ADHD. Now, I want to remind you to visit zenajones.com and grab your guide, where I have got 12 things that I wished my doctor had told me about ADHD. So 12 things that I think are really important for us to know as we navigate ADHD. You can download that completely free. Well, to be fair, it costs you your email address and I will send you a few emails. But if you don't like them, you can just unsubscribe. Super easy. So before we dive into this episode, I just want to let you know I have had a shit show with microphones today. I believe that my trusty podcast microphone that has been with me for years, because I've been podcasting for a while, I believe it's died. So somehow it picked up my iPhone and we are recording through iPhone. So if the sound is a little bit weird, A, I've got a cold, and B, the microphone is doing some weird shit. But hopefully it is good enough for you guys to be able to listen and get all of the good stuff out of today's episode. Speaking of which, this episode has been designed as an introduction to how our hormones affect our ADHD. So some things that I think are really important for us to know, and also what we can do to help minimize the negative effect that we may experience as our hormones change. Now, I also wanted to let you know I have been in discussion with a couple of different guest experts with regards to hormones specifically, and in a future episode, we are going to have one of those guests come on, so a guest expert in the field of hormones and medicine, etc. So they're going to come onto the podcast and answer many of the questions that I have collected from you guys. I love when you email in your questions. I have collected those, and I myself also have quite a long list of questions too, even after all of this research, and I'm going to explain why that is too. So with that in mind, this episode is packed with useful information and resources that I recommend you check out. However, of course, I need to mention I myself am not a doctor or a medical professional, so please do discuss this and any changes that you make or anything that you're struggling with, please do discuss it with your medical professionals, okay? So let's start out by talking about how your periods and changes to your hormones impact ADHD symptoms. So there are two hormones to pay attention to here. Number one is estrogen and number two is dopamine. Now, dopamine is both a hormone and a neurotransmitter. So dopamine is like a multi-purpose tool in our brain. Estrogen increases the amount of dopamine that our brain makes, and it also decreases its breakdown. Now, dopamine, we love dopamine because it helps us to regulate our attention and manage motivation, do a whole bunch of good shit, basically. Now, the week before your period, your estrogen levels drop. Less estrogen equals less dopamine equals more problems. That is in very basic terms. So basically, when our estrogen levels drop, we often experience more ADHD symptoms. I know for me, I get very frustrated, even more so than normal. And I'm also way more sensitive. My self-esteem, I would say, is lower as well. I'm way more emotional. And I would say my anxiety levels increase. And during that time, our ADHD medication can be less effective. I myself sometimes question whether or not I've even taken it for the day. So if you are taking your meds and thinking like they're not working or they're barely helping you, you would be correct. So what can we do about this? Can we naturally increase our estrogen levels to help balance this out? It's one of the questions that I've got. And can we do or take anything that will help us to make this window less hard? So those are some of the many questions that I've got, and I'm sure that you guys have too. And we're going to dive into those, but before we do, we need to talk about PMDD, perimenopause, and menopause, okay? So let's start with PMDD. That stands for premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And it's a hormonal health condition that causes clinically significant and impairing depression, anxiety, mood swings, and really uncomfortable physical symptoms in the week leading up to a period. Now, PMDD symptoms improve after somebody has had a period. Okay, so they are minimal, if not absent, in the weeks following, but they can last for some people report up to 2 weeks. Now, this condition does disproportionately affect people with both autism and ADHD. So up to 92% of autistic women and up to 46% of women with ADHD will experience PMDD. Now, it is basically PMS on steroids. So while PMDD shares many symptoms with PMS, which stands for premenstrual syndrome, PMDD is less common, but way more severe. I myself do not experience this. However, I have spoken to many women who do, and it can be very debilitating, very, very difficult to deal with. Now, the symptoms of PMDD interfere with daily functioning and often require medication to resolve. People with PMDD are at risk of suicide attempts and basically suicidal thinking. So diagnosis and treatment is incredibly vital. If this is something that you think you may be experiencing, please speak with your medical professionals. Please seek help. Okay. There is no agreed upon cause of PMDD, nor is it known why it affects certain populations more than others, but there are some theories and possible explanations, which include genetics, so it can be highly hereditary, hormone sensitivity. Now, as people with ADHD, we have reduced dopamine levels already across the brain, so when our hormones fluctuate, we can be more likely to, you know, reduce our dopamine to critically low levels. Also, with the reduction of estrogen, we can experience more severe feelings of exhaustion, of, you know, moodiness, lack of motivation, etc. And then there's also the theories around the sensory sensitivity. So autistic people particularly have a greater sensory sensitivity and therefore may be more likely to be negatively affected by the symptoms of having their period. So in terms of treatment for PMDD, there are various treatments that range from medication to lifestyle, antidepressants, so that is one option. Some selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, known as SSRIs, have been proven to be effective in reducing symptoms. Contraceptives as well, so hormone contraceptives can help to regulate hormones and alleviate some of both the physical and mental symptoms that we experience, or people rather with PMDD experience. And then lifestyle changes. So though most people with severe PMDD definitely benefit from medication, lifestyle changes such as improved diet and exercise can also help with symptoms. Now, there is an incredible article which I'm going to link to wherever you're listening to this episode. I'm going to put a bunch of links, and I'm going to link to one specifically for PMDD, and it is on the Attitude magazine website. I will link to that because it has a really great write-up. Now let's have a quick chat about perimenopause and menopause. So When I was diagnosed at age 36 with ADHD, my psychiatrist told me that between the ages of 36 to 38 is the most common window currently for women to be diagnosed, from then onwards, basically. And that is because our hormones are beginning to change in our bodies, and therefore our coping strategies for life just are not working the same. I can attest to that. Now, I did not know that as early as our mid-30s, we can begin to experience changes to our hormones. And research confirms that perimenopause may begin as early as your mid-30s or as late as your mid-50s. That's a huge window of time. And it's also really fascinating, I've been reflecting on this, about just how little knowledge, and I think it is growing now, but just how little knowledge has been available on both ADHD and menopause. So I've been having many conversations with friends lately, you know, in a similar age category to me, and often a little bit older, and talking about things like, you know, becoming more forgetful or experiencing more aches and pains and having trouble with their body, being frustrated all of the time. One friend was saying how she's just constantly crying at the drop of a hat and, you know, questioning what the heck's going on with me, feeling, you know, very all over the place. And many of these women aren't necessarily connecting the dots that these are signs and symptoms of hormones changing, of perimenopause happening. And yet, myself included, kind of were of this mindset that menopause wasn't really a thing that we would start to notice or experience until kind of towards our 50s. Now, I am grateful for, you know, the likes of social media and TikTok and things like that, because I'm seeing, and it's no doubt as a result of my search history, but I'm seeing so many videos about ADHD and menopause and changing hormones and cortisol levels, which is to do with stress, and, you know, things like this, which I think are so important and such great conversations for us all to be having to try and normalize and collectively kind of share in and feel less alone in what we're experiencing. Total tangent. Anyway, let's shed some light on what the fuck is going on in our bodies. So before menopause is the perimenopause stage, and that is when periods become irregular. So whether they become shorter or longer, or they become heavier or lighter, or a combination of that. Okay, but basically periods haven't stopped, they've just changed. Now that can last for 10 years. So perimenopause can last for up to 10 years. Now during that time, and this is really important, total estrogen and progesterone levels begin to drop irregularly. So those fluctuating estrogen levels help to explain the sometimes, you know, extreme mood or cognitive problems that many women, many of us with ADHD, experience. And it's not just women with ADHD. Okay, because of those fluctuating estrogen levels, all women who are going through this experience, you know, changes to their mood, changes to their you know, memory and what their focus and all of this. And we'll talk about symptoms in a minute. So during menopause, that is when periods stop altogether. And that's due to the declining levels of both estrogen and progesterone. So the onset of menopause is the 12 months after you've had your final period. So when you haven't had a period for 12 months, then you are officially in menopause. It's the signals the end of like a woman's reproductive years. Now the stage following menopause is referred to as postmenopausal. Okay. Now research has failed to establish any scientific differences between perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. So we are forced to consider all three of these phases, which can last a large number of years. We're forced to consider them all under the umbrella of menopause. Okay. And I'm going to say this a couple times, but it really pisses me off the lack of research that has been done on females specifically, not just females with ADHD. Like, there is literally none, which we'll talk about in a minute, but women who are experiencing, you know, hormonal changes and, you know, going through perimenopause, menopause, etc. Like, there's fuck all research, really. Like, there is some, but there's definitely so many gaps, let's say that. In terms of physical symptoms, let's start there. So physical symptoms of perimenopause, menopause include hot flashes, sleep problems, weight gain, being moody or irritable, anxiety, and a loss of libido. Cognitive symptoms include challenges with attention and concentration, challenges with your working memory, so forgetting shit all the time, having trouble with your verbal fluency, and overall impaired executive functioning. Now, you may recognize some of those symptoms because of the 10 symptoms that I just read out, 7 out of 10 of those are common signs and symptoms of ADHD. That makes it very difficult to distinguish between whether it is hormones or ADHD or a combination of both. Now, not all women will experience all of those symptoms, and the impact of estrogen loss during menopause ranges widely. Now, the factors that fuel these individual differences are also not well understood. As I said, the research is lacking. And this bit right here is important. There is no available research on menopause and ADHD specifically. Okay, I am not aware of any research currently being done. And if you are, please let me know. But as of October, I'm recording this in November, but I've found stuff that talks about October of 2023. There is no available research on menopause and ADHD specifically. Now, Dr. Jeanette Wasserstein, so she is a neuropsychologist who is known for her work in the ADHD space, and she's co-authored some books and written many articles on and around ADHD. She has a very impressive resume that is miles too long to read out, but she has a really good, what would we call it, like a webinar or an educational seminar type thing on YouTube. It is roughly 1 hour long. And it is in partnership also with Attitude Magazine. And she sets out in that 1 hour, and I will link to this because I think it's very, very good. She sets out to answer and share the following information with us. So first of all, what is menopause? Helping us to understand. I also like that she uses graphics. I am a very visual learner. She answers the question of what are the cognitive symptoms of menopause? Can menopause be mistaken for other psychological disorders? Can menopause mimic ADHD? And is menopause different in women with ADHD? She also talks about what the treatments available are, both, you know, pharmacological and non-pharmacological. And one thing that I took a lot away, but one thing that I really liked is that she talked about a couple of mature women who are, you know, either in menopause or postmenopausal, who most of us will know. And one of those is Whoopi Goldberg, who, as soon as I learned she had ADHD, I was like, oh yeah, of course she does. I relate to her dramatic flair so much. I love it. So Whoopi Goldberg and also Audra McDonald. I hope I'm saying it right, Audra, but I recognized her. I had to Google her and I recognized her as an actress that I have seen in many TV shows, and just, yeah, like a sort of beautiful personality that's how I kind of see her. So a couple of other important things to note. The more estrogen you have, the more dopamine you have, the more of all neurotransmitters essentially we will have. Okay. So estrogen is really important. ADHD medications were tested and trialed on little boys, okay? Many years ago, it was only thought that little boys had ADHD. So what that means is there are no studies on women and our fluctuating hormones that, you know, we experience month to month and then during the menopause period. Many experts that I have researched and talked with, they recommend tracking your cycle, okay? Even if, like me, you don't have a period as such due to perhaps your contraceptive, then track your moods and what you do recognize, because you will start to see patterns and it will help you to better understand yourself, where you are at in your cycle and what is going on. Can menopause mimic ADHD? Yes. Yes, it definitely can. Can menopause be mistaken for other things? Yes. And is menopause different in women with ADHD? No studies have yet been done, so we do not know. Symptoms will vary from person to person. They will range from mild to severe, and we do not yet know how to predict this. Okay? So let's talk about some options and recommendations for treatment. So in terms of pharmaceutical options, there have been studies done on neurotypical women, so not those of us with ADHD or with autism or any form of neurodivergence. So studies done on neurotypical women showed that women who had cognitive issues, okay, during menopausal years and used the medications Dex, Vyvanse, and Strattera, those women were able to significantly improve their attention and executive functions. Keeping in mind, as I said, that study was done not on women with ADHD specifically. And from that study, they also don't know exactly why or how it did help. Okay, which I think is important to point out. I currently, myself, am on a form of Dex and I find it good, and I am looking to switch to Vyvanse. I will update you guys in future episodes with how I find that, but I have heard from many women that they have a really good experience on Vyvanse. Now, of course, that is going to vary person to person. So, you know, again, consult your medical professional. Another pharmaceutical option is HRT. Many of my clients are on HRT and they say that they notice a significant difference with that. So HRT, hormone replacement therapy. And again, you want to, you know, speak to your medical professional, do your own research on that. Stimulants. So in terms of stimulant medication, specifically, you know, perhaps for women who are not yet in menopause and also those who perhaps are in the earlier stages of perimenopause, some women have found success with increasing dosages or changing ADHD medication during the higher symptom days of their cycle. Now, this is something I discussed with my psychiatrist a long time ago, and she said it is very, very common that women, you know, once they've found a medication that works, they then look at finding something that either increase the dosage, you know, around their cycle, or they look at adding in a different medication for that window of time, and that is something that takes a little while to figure out. Okay. Other pharmaceutical options include SSRIs, so serotonin reuptake inhibitors, for anxiety, mood, depression, and, you know, the likes. Again, discuss with your psychiatrist, discuss with your doctor, you know, and you may be able to together create an effective, you know, combination or treatment plan. So in terms of natural things, which I always like to explore, so I've got quite a long list here. So one expert said, and these are her words, soy and flaxseed can't hurt, might help. I know a few women during perimenopause who increase their soy intake and also have talked about flaxseed. That is not something I have myself noticed, but definitely worth, as she said, can't hurt, might help. Many women do have really good success with herbal options and discussing with their naturopath. There are many different herbal recommendations out there, so I'm only going to speak to a couple which I know I have personally had success with, and women I have worked with or know of have also had success with. And those are L-tyrosine. So I've talked about that on previous episodes. L-tyrosine helps to build our neurotransmitters. So effectively, it helps with the production of dopamine. Okay, we want more dopamine. So taking L-tyrosine with your medication would be the best way to get maximum effect. Okay, because then when you've got it, when you're, you know, you've taken your medication, you're producing more dopamine in your system, the L-tyrosine is going to help to with that process, basically. The other one is omega-3 fatty acids. So again, they can help with ADHD symptoms. Now, we specifically want to look for low DHA levels and an EPA level of 1,000 milligrams or more. Okay, this has been recommended by many ADHD experts, neuroscientists, etc. And I've talked about it many times on the podcast. Also, understanding, like, in terms of natural, just having an understanding of what's going on, the power of knowledge of what's going on, and also talking about it with people who get it. So whether you're talking about it with, you know, other friends who are experiencing similar symptoms of, you know, perimenopause, and, you know, noticing changes to their brain and their mood and their bodies and all of this, and also other ADHDers who are experiencing this as well. Having that understanding and that knowledge, it does help. Other things that are recommended are both CBT and DBT. So CBT is cognitive behavioral therapy, and then DBT is dialect behavioral therapy. So that is basically like talking therapy, DBT, and that helps a lot with emotional regulation. Now, as you all know, I am a coach, and I swear by, you know, the importance of, you know, working with either a coach or a therapist, and being able to get tools and techniques to support your mindset and your mental well-being and process your emotions. You know, that is really what we as coaches and therapists help you to do. Next up is self-advocacy. I think this is huge. When we know something is not right, or we are not happy, or we are really struggling, and I know this can be hard, but we have to advocate for ourselves. We have to take ourselves to the doctor. We have to speak to our friends. We've got to ask for help and get support, because there are so many things that we can do. And sometimes it does take a little while to get that all sorted and in place, but there is help. There is support. Okay. Another one here, which is tricky. I'm experiencing this as very difficult right now, but that is getting more sleep. I know it's not as easy as it sounds, and I have got an entire podcast on sleep and ADHD with a bunch of things that you can try and utilize to improve your sleep, and I'm in it with you. I am focusing really hard on the sleep right now and noticing that the hormonal fluctuations are making that a little bit tricky, as well as the ADHD. My busy mind has really started amping up recently, and I've woken up with like a million thoughts in my brain, so... But stick with it and work on getting more sleep, because it really does help. Regular exercise. So for any of you who follow me over on Instagram, and my account is navigating.adult.adhd, same name as this podcast, I am a huge fan of regular exercise, and specifically it needs to be something you enjoy. So I do 10,000 steps every day without fail. I go for a walk in the morning and a walk again later in the afternoon or evening. And it's not normally a power walk. Sometimes it is, but more so it's just a stroll. And getting that stroll really helps with supporting my ADHD, my emotional regulation, my mindset, my mental health, my well-being, but also with hormonal balance as well. I specifically go out in nature, and it makes a big difference. So regular exercise in a form that you enjoy, that is hugely beneficial. Mindfulness, so whether that be meditation, yoga, etc., research shows that these are helpful for both menopause and also ADHD symptoms. Now, when we talk about like meditation, let's just say that can be whatever if you want it to be. I don't know why I didn't just use the real word, but you know. Meditation can be whatever you like. For one of my friends, she says, and she's an ADHDer, she says, I listen to rock music and it calms my soul. And I was like, awesome, right? For me, I can't sit cross-legged and meditate. I mean, I can, I just don't enjoy it. I don't like it. I've tried. I've really forced myself. It's just not my thing. For me, like meditation is like putting my feet in the grass, or going for a beach walk, or just going for a walk in nature, or cuddling my cat. Like, that to me is a form of mindfulness and meditation. So don't be so concerned about what that has to look like, but more concerned about like what that looks like for you, what feels good for you. Okay. All right, my friends, I really hope that this episode has helped you to better understand what is happening in your body, what is going on with the hormones, and ultimately just to feel a little bit less alone with the ups and downs that you experience throughout the month. Okay. Please do share this episode with a friend or a family member who you know that could benefit from it. That would be amazing. And again, for more support, come and hang out with me over on Instagram or on Facebook or via my website, where you'll find all of those links, which is zenajones.com. And don't forget, we spell Zena with an X, because we just do. Huge, huge love, my friends. Take care. I'll see you soon. Hey, friend.
I know exactly what it's like to feel frustrated and confused with your ADHD and to wish that you could better understand what the hell is going on in your brain. And that's exactly why I created my coaching program, Thriving with ADHD. Inside Thriving with ADHD, you learn a step-by-step process to set and finally achieve your goals, to understand yourself and your ADHD. It's where you learn to feel better and manage your emotions and create systems and processes that work for you with your ADHD brain. This is designed for you to learn how to thrive with ADHD so you can create the life that you were meant to live. Visit zenajones.com/ADHD to learn more and book a consultation.